Good morning, everyone. I think I probably know most of you here, but in case I don't, or in case you don't know me, my name's Jane. I've been at St. Stephen's for over a quarter of a century now, so quite a long time. And I'm here this morning to speak about the work of Crossways, which is a great passion of mine. We started Crossways about, well, it's almost 20 years ago now, actually. And you very kindly, as a church, support us as a mission partner. So I wanted to come and tell you what we're actually doing in order that you can carry on doing that, please. So could I have the first slide, please? I thought I'd talk a little bit about what counselling is and what it isn't. And I'm assuming that probably none of you know an awful lot about it, so I thought it would be helpful if we went over those things. So what is counselling? First and foremost, it's an invitation to grow. It's about building up a supportive relationship, because actually, unless there's a relationship between client and counsellor, you won't get very far. There needs to be that atmosphere of confidentiality, of trust, built up first before anything further can be done. It's also the chance to explore emotions in a safe and secure place and explore thoughts and feelings around current and past difficulties. And the confidentiality is incredibly important here. Thank you. Counselling is also about making connections between the past and the present and gaining new insights, about exploring ways to change and looking at options and actually looking at defences and what's behind them, because quite often, I mean, the brain's quite clever, we build up defence mechanisms to protect us, and they're very useful. They keep us safe. But actually, as we go through life, sometimes they're not actually that helpful. They can get in the way of relationships, they can get in the way of friends and family. And so whilst we don't go around ripping down defence mechanisms, that would be unsafe, part of the work of counselling is actually to help people look at whether they're actually helpful for them anymore and whether we can perhaps replace them by something that's more helpful and whether, in fact, those defence mechanisms are contributing towards their current problems. Somebody once said that for change to happen, something has to change. And counselling is all about change and growth. And we are told in the Bible, aren't we, that, next slide please, that we are to, the aim is to growth, is growth and change, to walk in the light and grow in the truth. And that's biblical. So that's what we base our work on. It's also about empowering people to respond differently to their difficulties and worries. People have often said to me, what difference does it make you being a Christian counselling service or a counselling service with a Christian ethos? Because there are other counselling services out there. What is it about Crossways that makes you different? Well, it's about the fact that we recognise we don't do these things in our own strength, actually. All the counsellors that work for Crossways are committed Christians. They are all professionally trained as well, but they are all committed Christians. And so their work is grounded in prayer. Their lives are grounded in prayer, and they don't believe, as we don't, do we, that we do this on our own. It's actually through the work of God in us that we can actually be of help in his kingdom. So that's what makes a difference. We do pray for our clients, not in the counselling room with them, but actually outside of that, and all supervision sessions include prayer as well. We also have prayer groups too, but I'll talk a bit more about them later on. I thought I'd also talk about what counselling isn't. Because I think that's almost equally helpful. It isn't about giving advice. Now, people often say, well, what use is that then? If I can't come and find out what to do, you know, what's the point in coming for counselling? But actually, the idea behind counselling is to empower people to make the decisions that are right for them. Because actually, we're not God. You know, we don't know. All we can do is work with people through our prayer for them and through our work with them to help them discover what God's plan is for them in their life. Even if they're not Christians, even if they don't know God, you know, that's one way in which we can help people draw closer to God to find out the purpose of their lives. Counselling's not fluffy. People who come for counselling are actually very brave people. I can remember when I was doing my counselling training, we all, as counsellors, have to have our own personal therapy. And I mistakenly thought, oh, well, that's just so I know what it feels like, you know, to be in the hot seat. That's why I've got to go and have it. And I can remember interviewing my counsellor, who was a nun, actually, and saying, well, you know, I don't need counselling. I'm just here because of my course and grilling her, really, about her qualifications and that kind of stuff. 6 months later, I was running for the hills, believe me. And 4 years later, I was still there. So it's not so we can experience what counselling is like, although that's quite useful. The reason that counsellors have so long in their own personal therapy is because unless we've sorted our own stuff out, we can't help other people sort theirs out. That doesn't mean we're sorted people. We're never sorted people. But it does mean we're committed to our ongoing personal development, because without that, we can't help other people. Our own stuff would get in the way in counselling sessions. Our own material would get triggered if we weren't constantly thinking about what's going on for me, what's happening here. Counsellors actually undertake a very long training. It's usually about 4 years. It can be even longer. And during that time, as well as their own ongoing therapy, there's a whole stack of personal development that goes on. So it's not an undertaking to be entered into lightly. And as I mentioned before, it's not easy. The people that come for counselling are the brave ones. I'm not being judgmental about people that can't, for whatever reason. There's all sorts of reasons why people can't necessarily take that step at that time. But really, people who come into counselling are brave, because it's hard. It can be painful. You know, nothing comes from nothing, does it? And if people are suffering and they've got all sorts of stuff going on, then the counsellor is there to gently be alongside them, to share their journey and support them as they come out the other side. And that can take quite a long time. Thank you. So why Crossways Counselling Service? Well, because the demand for counselling, particularly in lovely leafy Surrey, where nobody has any problems, do they? The demand was way in excess of supply. And actually, the people who most benefit from counselling are quite often the people who can least afford it. You know, we know, don't we, as Christians, as part of this church, that actually there are a lot of people living below the poverty line in this area. A lot of people. It's quite hidden. But those people don't have access to private counselling at £60 an hour. So part of the ethos of Crossways is actually showing God's love in the local community to help people who otherwise would be denied that kind of support. So we seek to provide a professional counselling service to support and supplement the ministry of the local churches. And I'd just like to thank again St Stephen's for all their support over the last 20 years. You support us financially, you support us in prayer, you support us in service. And, you know, we just are so, so grateful for that. Don't stop, though. Next slide, please. So we began in the year 2000. We were originally owned and operated by the Haysmere Pastoral charity. We then changed the name to Crossways because it reflected more clearly what we actually do, Christ being the centre of all that we do. Recognising that the cross actually is the crossways that many people find themselves at in life, but actually everything comes to God at the foot of the cross. So it's the name has two meanings, really. So when we first started in 2000, we only had three or four counsellors, and we were doing about 130 counselling sessions a year. As time went on, it increased to about 550. And actually, now we're probably doing about 2,000 sessions a year. We've got 8 counsellors who work for us. Next slide, please. And between them, they see about 25 clients a week. Actually, 8 counsellors isn't strictly true. We also have a family therapist, a couples counsellor. We have a supervisor, a clinical supervisor, who supervises the work of the counsellors. And we also have somebody, an experienced counsellor, who does our assessments. Probably quite helpful, do you think, if I explain what actually happens in counselling? Because a lot of people think, what's this all about then? So when people make contact with Crossways, whether it be through the website, whether it be through telephone or email, then they come through to me on the Crossways telephone number, and I do a bit of a triage, I suppose, really, to make sure that they are in the right place. That doesn't mean that we say to people, sorry, we can't help. We never say that. But if Crossways is not the appropriate agency for them, we will work with them to find something that is more appropriate. So they might want a support group, or they might just be lonely and want company. So there are various places we can signpost people towards. But if it looks like counselling will be what's helpful for them, then we invite them to come for an assessment session. Sounds scary, doesn't it? But actually, that's all about making sure we're the right people to help, and making sure that people are comfortable with us. So that's what the assessment does, really. And if that's the case, and in agreement, we think that counselling is what will benefit them, then they come into regular weekly counselling for as long as it is helpful, really. We don't just offer six sessions. We don't just put a sticking plaster on an open wound. So we are offering long-term counselling to give people the opportunity to grow and change. What people come with, and I'll go on to what they come with a bit later, is quite often not what we end up dealing with. So people who come into counselling have often had a lot happening in their lives. They may come because they've been bereaved or been made redundant or their relationships are in difficulty, but actually underpinning that might be a lifetime of difficulty, which makes it so hard for them to cope with what's happened just now. It's like the tip of the iceberg, really, I suppose, or the straw that breaks the camel's back. So, you know, people that come for counselling have usually got a lot of stuff lying underneath their presenting issue. All of our counsellors hold either a diploma or a degree or an MA in counselling approved by the British Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy. And that takes a minimum of 4 years. So they don't just go on a quick weekend course and, right, I'm a counsellor now. It's not like that. It's a really arduous training. We've got a couple of our counsellors here today, Sue Galley, and Simon Coleman is one of our counsellors too. And they could no doubt tell you what a journey it is, actually, for both personal growth and also professional growth. And some people go on to do an even longer training than that. All of our counsellors have regular supervision. Now, what that means is that we employ a clinical supervisor, and she meets with each of the counsellors in groups of four twice a month for 2 hours. And that's to make sure that they're working safely and effectively, primarily. It's primarily to police the work, if you like, I suppose. It's also to educate and inform and encourage counsellors to grow, and it's also about supporting them. So supervision has that kind of aspect to it. We also pray. We have a fantastic group of trustees who give advice to us. Jane Harding's one of them. Jim's another one. Is there anybody else here? I haven't missed anybody out. Maggie Grimshaw is a fantastic supporter. She coordinates our volunteer stewards, and I'll tell you more about them later. I was quite intrigued by, not intrigued, but I just think God's so clever. I didn't have anything to do with the readings today. And in the first service, we actually heard from Isaiah, the coming of Jesus basically was being foretold. And they didn't get it, of course, as they didn't get it later on in the New Testament either. And I think it's because culturally, well, it was so countercultural. Even in the Old Testament, success was measured by wealth, by personal gain, all that kind of stuff. And the concept of actually a servant king who was going to die for them was pretty radical. Maybe it's because in the Old Testament they hadn't collected enough sin to really be able to understand what Jesus might have on his hands, really, by the time he got to doing that. And our second reading that you were also party to today was the reading from Mark. And it talks about how differently we measure success, not as Christians, but in the world, where businesses, for example, measure success by personal achievement, how much money you make, all of that kind of stuff. But Christ's message is to minister to the needs of others. It's not about getting our own needs met. I mean, through doing that, we quite often do get our own needs met, of course. That's the blessing and the grace of Jesus, isn't it? But it's actually about being a servant and meeting the needs of others. And that's what our counsellors, who are also Christians, seek to do at Crossways. Thank you. So, excuse my voice, because I've got a bit of a cold at the moment. What do clients come to Crossways with? Well, the presenting issues can be stress, depression, anxiety, redundancy, work-related issues, bereavement and loss, sexual orientation and gender identity, and abuse. But they are the presenting issues. Often there's a whole lot that underlies that. Thank you. A bit about money, and that's why we're so grateful to you as a church for supporting us. Our annual running costs are in excess of £26,000 a year. Now, our counsellors work for free. That's the sacrificial nature of what they're actually giving. But there are a lot of other expenses that underpin the running of Crossways. We pay for professional supervision, ongoing training. We are based at Holy Cross Convent, but our rent is at least £6,000 a year. That's not free. We pay travel expenses to our counsellors who come from far and wide. There are lots of underlying costs, insurance, professional subscriptions, all of that kind of stuff. So we have to raise, or we have to find, over £26,000 a year just to stand still. That's not to get bigger or expand or anything like that. Clients do pay for their counselling. We think that's really quite important, that they're encouraged to actually invest in and value what they're doing. But nobody's turned away through lack of money. So part of the assessment is looking at where they can afford to contribute. And it might be £2 for people on benefits who've got no money. It's not that we're pressurising people to pay a lot of money. We just want them to invest in what they're doing. So client contributions are just over 11,000, or they were last year. That means that we've got to find over 15,000 a year just to stand still. So every bit of help you can give us is very welcome. Thank you. So who do we offer help to? Well, everybody. Regardless of background, gender, sexual orientation, religious or ethnic background. And as I said, we charge fees according to means, not denying anybody counselling through lack of money. Thank you. So how can you continue to help us? Well, there are three ways. Most importantly is prayer. We are so grateful to this church for underpinning us in prayer. And I've put an up-to-date prayer focus on the back table there. So please do take one with you and continue to pray for the work of Crossways. We'd like your time as well, please. Maggie Grimshaw coordinates our volunteer stewards. They're people who sit up at Holy Cross in the hallway to meet and greet and just be a presence on the premises. Particularly important when it's quite dark in the evenings, actually. And they're there to make an emergency phone call if anybody's taken ill, that kind of thing. But it's actually quite a little haven. People regard it as like a mini retreat, those who do it, because it's a lovely place. You can sit and pray, have a cup of coffee, do a Bible study, write your Christmas cards, whatever you want to do, really. So if any of you could give either a morning or an evening, just once a month for about 3 hours, please do talk to Maggie Grimshaw, because we are quite short of stewards at the moment. We also need people to help us fundraise. So if you are good at putting in fundraising bids, I'm not very, but I have to do it, then let me know, please, because we can always make use of your expertise. And if you want to hold something to raise money for Crossways, please speak to me. It could be a coffee morning, you could have a lunch party, whatever it is. And if you just want to give a one-off donation today, there is a collection, Crossways collection box at the back there, so please do consider doing that. And you can also give on a regular standing order basis. And there are forms at the back of the church for that if you'd like to give a monthly, regular or one-off annual donation. The other way, it sounds a bit grim, doesn't it? But the other way that you can actually help the ongoing work of Crossways is to consider leaving us a legacy in your will. That's a really important thing. And we have had quite a bit of income that way, which has been, you know, great. So please consider those things. Prayer. Well, I'm glad to say that Crossways is regularly prayed for as a mission partner here in this church. But I would encourage you, as I said, to take a leaflet and pray in your own time as well. And if you'd like to join the Crossways prayer group, then please let me know. Thank you. As I've mentioned, you can act as a volunteer steward, you can do occasional administrative work and fundraising. I've mentioned direct giving. Don't forget to gift aid. That's really important because that's a lot extra, actually. But occasional donations are really welcome, and so are legacies. So what about future plans? Well, what we'd really like to do is actually increase the counselling provision that we provide, because we've always had a three-month waiting list ever since we first opened our doors, and we'd really quite like not to have a three-month waiting list. But to do that, we've got to actually increase the number of counsellors we have, and that means we've got to increase the provision for those counsellors, and that goes up, of course, according to numbers. So that's our prime aim, really, I suppose, is to increase counselling provision. And to increase the counselling provision for families and couples. We'd love to be able to address the needs of young people under the age of 18, I wouldn't say we don't, actually, in a sense, because actually if we're supporting people's relationships, if we're supporting marriages, then of course that has a knock-on effect on young children. But we'd like to be able to work with them directly. So that's the kind of wish list that we have, top of which would be establishing our own premises, but that's a bit of a dream. But we can't rely on the fact that we'll always have Holy Cross. You know, we're there by their grace and generosity, although we do pay. But we can never rely on that. They could at any point say, no, I'm sorry, we've got to sell it or we've got to use it for something else. So we do have to be mindful of the fact that we've got to constantly be one step ahead, really, in thinking about the future. So thank you all very much for listening. Please do continue to support us in every way that you can. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. We're now going to respond to that in prayer. And there will be three focuses in our prayer together this morning. Firstly, we will bear in mind the work of Crossways and all the staff and counsellors who work for Crossways, all the volunteers. And we can also think about the wish list that Jane put up on the screen at the end there. We also need to pray for the church here at St Stephen's, particularly praying for our church wardens and the PCC as we move towards the next round of interviews for a new incumbent here at St Stephen's. That will be a prayer focus. And also we're going to pray for the world and the needs of the world. But we're going to enter into that time of prayer and that response in God's presence through some silence. And one of the things I have discovered, both as a counsellor and somebody who prays professionally, if you like, is that sometimes the most profound time and the most profound time of change is actually in the moment of silence. Those who work as counsellors will know that that moment of silence in the counselling room is often a moment of profound change. And the same is true of prayer. And somebody pointed out to me just this week that actually the word listen is an anagram of silent. And I'd never noticed that before. So let's just be still and let's be quiet for a moment as we think about Crossways, as we think about the church, and as we think about the world.